superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Club the 25, and the race is on, and it's loose!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the game. Goes to Parham, jump ball, caught! Signal is touchdown!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The receiver did not maintain control of the ball throughout the process of the catch.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Son, let me tell you about the Chargers.
Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports, Peter King, New Orleans Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan. Coming up, NBC Sports broadcaster Mike Tirico. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Peter King and Cam Jordan. We're about to hand the stage over to you at 844-204-RICH. Mike Tirico, who called Notre Dame's overtime win over Clemson and hosted Sunday Night Football, Football Night in America last night on NBC. Quite a double dip for him over the weekend. He will be joining us on this show. Overreaction Monday lurks on this show as well. Chris Brockman is keeping his eye peeled on all the information you require, not only for your fantasy team moving forward or for your regular actual real live team in terms of injuries, but also for Monday Night Football tonight, which I have already put in the win column for Chris.
come on, don't do that.
I'm not. I mean, you know, please. Although this was a crazy ass weekend. Yeah. There's no doubt about it, man. There's no doubt about it. Our poll question at Rich Eisen Show. Chris, go ahead and update us on that, will you please?
All right, guys. Who's the best team in the National Football League? Steelers, Chiefs, Bills, Saints? And put your thumb on the scale right now, Rich Eisen. What say you?
Because I'm
of our audience says Kansas City, 26% Pittsburgh, 8% New Orleans, 7% Buffalo.
Matt in Oklahoma, he said to you right over the weekend, I'm going to be the first calling in, right?
First calling
and
in.
Right as rain. we saw that phone lighting up 5 minutes before we even went on the air. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing pretty good today. I'm telling you, there was cooking done yesterday in Buffalo, but it wasn't Russ. It was my boy Josh Allen and that defense. I'm telling you, all the national media can suck it, by the way.
Whoa.
They were dogging out my quarterback and talking like a piece of trash yesterday morning before the game. So, not you guys, but everybody else.
That's okay. No, Matt. Look, I know you've got pride in your Bills, too. And I think Josh Allen has been, you know, terrific. He had a couple of weeks where he definitely wasn't up to this first month of the season snuff, but he is terrific. He is just as viable as a star quarterback in this league as his draft mate that was the MVP last year.
I need to talk to TJ, too.
He's on the horn right now. Go for it. What do you need to talk to him about?
Hey, TJ.
Yes, sir.
I know you're a free agent in the NFL because you're crappy Cowboys. Thank God. I'm glad they suck.
Wow. 52-17. I remember that well.
Chiefs and everybody else. You need to get on the Bills bandwagon. You like wrestling. We break tables. Best fans in the NFL. Come on. Get on what's early. Don't jump on an already established team. Come on over to the Bills Mafia. You'll enjoy it.
Matt in Oklahoma, he's fired up today. Best of your family. Thanks for the call.
I accept your pitch, man.
Look, man, and I wouldn't – before the show, I said, I understand we're taking the best records in the NFL and we're putting them on there. Do not sleep on the Green Bay Packers. Do not. Do not sleep on the Green Bay Packers at all. Packers don't play Seattle either. Packers could have put up the same amount of points on the Seattle Seahawks yesterday, too. Yesterday could have been the same thing. Okay? Number 12 is as good as he's ever been. And he's got the chip on his shoulder. And Davante Adams is as good as anyone else in the league. And Aaron Jones returning showed you just how good this team really can be. You want to talk about triplets in this league, which we do a lot. And I love DK Metcalf and Russ. As you know, I said a few weeks ago, I think they're the best tandem in this league. And Kyler Murray running for 100 yards yesterday and almost throwing for 300 yards passing. And DeAndre Hopkins only got three targets yesterday because he was targeted by Xavier Howard in his hands and his arms and his leg. I mean, the number of times that DeAndre got just fouled instead of catching a ball, I lost track. He was probably fouled more than he was targeted yesterday. And for a catch. They're great, too. But with all due respect to Chris Carson and DJ Dallas and Carlos Hyde, and all due respect to...
So much respect.
You know, no, Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds. We're talking about Aaron Jones here. Aaron Jones, who, to me, if he can stay healthy, can be just as productive as Dalvin Cook. Fact. I believe it. That's how special he is. And if the defense can just tighten the bolts a little bit, because Tonyan's a pretty good difference maker, and Lazard and Valdez-Scantling, they get poo-pooed all the time. Do not sleep on the Green Bay Packers. I know they got boat raced in Tampa where the Saints just boat raced the home team. I get it. And I saw what happened against Minnesota. I saw it. 40-50-mile-an-hour winds. Minnesota didn't win that game because Cousins made all the throws. It's because Dalvin Cook scored four touchdowns. Aaron Jones was not available. So, Green Bay's coming off of their mini bye against Jacksonville, bless them. Then Indianapolis, then the Bears, who put up 17 points. If there is a fourth quarter in which they're down by 24, or if the game is extended by four more quarters, that's how they score 17 points. Forget it. Forget it. Philadelphia is Green Bay's opponent after that. At Detroit, Carolina is an interesting team, man. Home for Tennessee at Chicago. Green Bay is looking at 12-13 wins. That's why I'm saying do not sleep on them. But they don't have one of the best four records in the league right now. That's why they're not on our poll question. And with all due respect, I'm due respecting a lot today.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot, like Oprah.
All due respect to the Buffalo Bills, try these Green Bay Packers on for size. Let's take another phone call here. Shane in Boulder, Colorado. What's up, Shane?
Hey, how's it going, Rich and the guys? It's been a while.
What's up, buddy? Shane?
Hey, Shane.
Just wanted to say a couple things. One, go Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That win meant a lot to being a Notre Dame fan. That win meant a lot. Even without Trevor Lawrence, meant a lot. Number two, Rich, sorry about Michigan, bud. Sorry about that.
You know what?
Just this year's not your year.
No, I totally agree. And you are you have every right to call in and gloat about your Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
My third thing I gotta say though, Bears game, Nagy, worst play caller in the NFL. I literally, while I watch the game, me and my friend, I'm like, he's gonna do this, and this. Does it all. If I at home can call the plays, what is the defense thinking? Like, are they just like, today's going to be a day where I eat?
Pretty much. That's it, Shane, and I appreciate the call. In Boulder, Colorado, there's Shane, who's probably eating on the couch, too. What, gummies?
Oh, you see? You got to go there.
Yeah, I'm talking about it's Boulder, Colorado.
California, too. No,
let me say this.
Jersey. Now.
I want to say this. Because you know how I feel about Notre Dame.
Of course.
All right? And you know how I feel about talking up Notre Dame. Like, literally, it's one of the last things I want to do.
Of course, Rich. We know that.
But I am a lead pipe wielding professional who comes out of the smoke here out of the Rich Eisen Show tunnel every day at noon Eastern on NBC Sports on Peacock right now. And NBCSN, which had us on all throughout the spring and the summer and then a little bit of the fall. Not once did they tell me, would you mind not slagging on Notre Dame and Rudy?
NBC.
Would you mind not doing that because we're the home of Notre Dame football? They totally understand where I stand, and they have let me go.
Yep.
So I am saying this with the ultimate of a straight face to you, Mr. Notre Dame hat-wearing New Jersey guy who would never root for Rutgers and Seton Hall stinks on
Rutgers
ice.
Rutgers didn't let me in college.
Got it. No, no, no,
forget
no.
Them.
I'm sorry. I promised I wouldn't do that. I will say this. Hold on a second. I gotta compose myself.
I mean, that's a big moment for you.
Oh, God. I got to really, like, yeah, take a breath and not... Okay, here
think
we
about
go.
About it. Woosah. Woosah.
Ian Book is really good.
Yeah.
That kid can play quarterback.
Ian is good.
They have playmakers all over the place, man. And I do not care that Trevor Lawrence wasn't playing.
Thank you,
You got to play the teams in front of you, whoever has a player out. Everybody's got a player out. I know you didn't have your quarterback out. I know Ian Book is good, but he's not Trevor Lawrence. And I know, you know, that DJ, I'm going to do it.
Uh-oh.
Uiagalelei.
Oh, hey, amazing, Rich.
There you go.
Professional broadcast.
He was good.
Is very good.
Yeah.
All right. But Notre Dame did what it had to do. And they played a really, really good game against an excellent football team, loaded for bear, and deserves all the credit. They are number two in the country, and all they got to do is just show up, stay healthy, knock on wood, show up, win football games. They got a spot in the college football playoffs. How do they not?
Yeah, if they run the table.
I don't want to hear this in December. Oh, there's no Trevor Lawrence. Guess what? Then when Trevor Lawrence comes back, which is right around the corner,
yeah,
then go on out there. And rematch him. I'll watch that. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes. Actually, Trevor Lawrence being out might be to Notre Dame's benefit because they did win this game. And again, I know what I just said, but Trevor Lawrence might have had a better couple of reps than we saw from Uiagalelei.
Amazing, Rich.
So Notre Dame gets the win. They're undefeated. Now they can come back if they beat Clemson twice, one with Trevor Lawrence, one without, or even if you lose. I still want to see.
I want to get Alabama.
I would still see. Well,
gotta
dude,
get them
oh
off.
My
gotta
God.
Gotta get them
the
off.
The number
Brian
of
Mike,
people
here we go, buddy.
In this world
easy,
who say
baby.
Bring on Alabama.
I don't want, I mean,
and
I,
get we, Alabama I, and do not want Alabama brought another second in their direction. I have, if I had a dime.
0.
For
point
every single person.
0.
Exactly.
I don't
play you do not want a piece
play
of out. Nobody
no.
wants to be.
Not want those problems.
You know what? Nobody wants.
No.
42-14 last time.
I mean, exactly. I don't know if I want.
And by the
It'd
way,
be nice, though.
When I tweeted out a photograph of all those fans on the field, rushing the field, and I said, somebody get, please, on speaking on behalf of all Jets fans, get Trevor out of there. Number of people I got back, well, he didn't play. I know. Well, he's already got COVID. And I'm like, this wasn't a COVID-related thing, even though we don't know
exactly.
that if you get COVID, you can't get it again. Yeah. It really was, get him out of there. Because he's got to be in one piece. Okay? It was not about super spreaders or anything like that.
I was posting about super spreaders.
Okay.
Yeah, Brockman was all over that one. That's nuts.
Hey, man.
That we're showing.
I've already said everybody should mask up. Just mask the hell up. But at any rate, nice
yeah.
night for your Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Congratulations to
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Rich.
How did
okay.
I do?
It's okay.
You know, how did I do?
You know,
was that a professional take of the situation?
Yeah,
it's not a lie. If
I
you
believe
it.
I believe it.
Yeah. A minus. Good job.
A minus.
Yeah. It was well done.
It was good.
And in Michigan, you know, man, just I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it?
I didn't.
Rich, at least you have a win. Penn State 0-3 for the first time in 19
years.
You know
what? It doesn't give me any enjoyment at all. It doesn't give me any enjoyment at all. Last time Michigan lost to Indiana was the year after Jim Harbaugh left his quarterback. He was a rookie in the NFL. I was a sophomore in college.
Ooh.
And I honestly do not know what the hell is happening. Anybody who like wants to, like, what do you think of your boy? He is my boy. He is. My quarterback, my freshman year of college.
Save it, Rich. We're going to get to more on Harbaugh.
No. You overreact all you want. It's no overreaction.
There is. We'll get to it.
Well, I'm just going to say it here anyway.
Pre-overreact.
You know, we'll do that in the third hour. It'll be an hour removed.
We'll talk about Trevor Lawrence.
I know. This hurts. It hurts to my core. It hurts beyond that it's becoming week to week apparent that this is not working out. And I don't know what the answer is. Never saw this thing coming. And hopefully it turns around. I'm really going to be taking that fan's approach. Because I want him to be the coach, and I want him to be the guy that leads to Michigan to prominence, as we all expected him to. So I don't have an answer. Congrats to Indiana. I'm being so gracious right now, I am literally cramping.
Maybe Indiana's just really good.
The whole... Oh, you mean Indiana University?
Yeah, maybe they're
just the entire state of Indiana, every state football team.
Add football.
Have nothing gracious to say about Purdue. I don't even know what the hell happened this weekend.
No. Maybe the Hoosiers are just really good this year. They got a really good quarterback.
I know.
They make plays.
Yes, and the coach, Tom Allen, is coaching his head off. And they believe, and belief is a significant, powerful tool on a football field that can lift everyone up, unless your name is Rudy and you're a total fraud. He's going to sue me one day, isn't he?
Or fight you. He's going to fight you.
Yeah, he might.
Well, you're going to help me out with that. You're my human shield when it comes to that. Look at my friend Mikey. Mikey's wearing Notre Dame hats, even though he's not really. He never went to the school.
Stop.
Never went to the school. He lives in New Jersey.
I mean, Rich.
5 foot nothing. 100 and nothing. Well, 200 and nothing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Me. It's definitely 200 and nothing. And something.
So. But it was good to watch that game. It was a big time college football game. You know, big time.
Only
college
got to watch
game.
The end.
And I
I could only watch the end. I got there 40-40. I literally walked in my house when they were in
It was kind of like an NBA game. I mean, you missed some great plays, missed some great individual achievements, missed some interesting coaching decisions, but when it all came down to it, it really was, you know, Notre Dame getting it done at the end, and then the defense.
That D was amazing
put
at the end.
Uyunglele on his butt a couple times. Yes, like, I have had it written out phonetically on my screen to make sure I don't screw it up.
I did
practice it this morning on the way to work because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional who comes out of the smoke every day on NFL game day morning on Sunday and right here on NBC on Peacock.
3 hours.
Every day.
3 hours.
At noon Eastern. 3 hours, honestly. And if I could get up and not pull something, I would do the Ray Lewis dance right now. But I don't have that ability. Okay. Oh God, I just thought, like, what? How many L's can I take? My team's 0-8, going to get their butt fumbles wiped tonight on Monday Night Football by Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Then I got to come in and I got to talk about how great Notre Dame looks, and then wonder if Jim Harbaugh is the right guy at Michigan. How many L's can I possibly take? Honestly, there are more L's that I'm taking than there are. In the loop in Chicago. Hey now, everybody. Hey now.
Thank you. Let's see. There's no Yankees news. There's no.
Oh please! I'm just talking about football.
I know. I was just running down.
What I tell you about the Giants? What I tell you? They play for Joe Judge, brother.
They do.
They play for Joe Judge.
Evan Engram finally got in the end zone.
Huh?
Evan Engram finally scored a touchdown. The guy's been frustrating as a fantasy owner.
Oh. I would have told you he was going to score a touchdown because he's going against me in this league that I really want to win. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take a break. Mike Tirico, when we come back here to talk about the aforementioned Notre Dame win that he called on NBC on Saturday night. And, of course, last night's game. Oh, my gosh. And it's Masters Week as well. Mike Tirico, when we come back.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
We're back here on Peacock. Mike Tirico is going to join us in a second. Fantasy news. You ready? My buddy Doug Robinson, who's a Syracuse guy, just like Tirico and you, he wants credit for kicking my ass because he has Evan Engram. He just texted me "Well, I thought I was going to give you credit." Here's your credit, Doug.
Did you get smoked by Doug?
Oh, please. Yeah. Dalvin Cook, give me a break, man. Evan Engram scores. Jerry Jeudy scores late. It's just one after the other. How many else can a man take?
Well, there's still tonight.
Oh, and then this is always fun. My son Cooper just received a trade.
Oh, what do we got?
From a team, Beef.
How many E's?
I can't count. Literally, I think there's about 15 Beefs. Wants to trade Justin Jackson, who got hurt in the first.
On the first play.
For Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Oh, that's a great trade.
That's how 9-year-olds go.
I should be in that league.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network.
I should be in that league.
Oh, my gosh. I love this man. I've known him forever and a day. He was at my wedding, and he's the best at what he does. And it was great to hear his voice, Clemson Notre Dame, on Saturday night on NBC Sports. And then I watched him get us ready for that boat race, my gosh, in Tampa last night. He's Mike Tirico. How are you, Mike?
Hey, buddy. How are you, Rich?
I am fine. You're all traveled out in a world where hardly anybody's traveling.
Yeah, it was quite a weekend. You couldn't ask for a better weekend in terms of games and events and all that stuff. It was quite a weekend.
So I will give you the floor first on the scene in Notre Dame. It just, popped through the television set, and then we saw all those kids running on the field. But the football first aspect of it, what did we learn from that game on Saturday night, Mike?
So let's go big picture with Clemson first. Clemson's a really excellent team. I know we've known that, but sometimes you can say it's a team. A team is 1 year, and I should rephrase it as a elite program, because they were without three of their better defensive players. The quarterback of their defense, James Skalski, a linebacker inside, an NFL caliber defensive lineman, and another linebacker, actually the son of Mike Jones, who made the tackle of Kevin Dyson in the Rams-Titans Super Bowl in Atlanta. He's a very good linebacker for them. So they were without three significant parts of their team on defense. And then they're without as good a player as there's on the offensive side, Trevor Lawrence, and they still on the road against a really good team went to overtime. So I think it just tells us what a great program Dabo Sweeney's built there. Having said that, DJ Uiagalelei, the quarterback, played really well. He's going to be a future star. They've got great things to build around after Lawrence. But on the Notre Dame side, it shows you that even though they're in a league for a year, they're still an independent. As an independent in this construct, Notre Dame can still be extremely relevant at the highest level of college football. And that's full credit to Brian Kelly, who after a 4-8 season hit the reset button. I won't go through all the things that they did internally, but they have a product that's turning out NFL caliber players and can beat a great program like Clemson. So full credit to where Notre Dame is now, and certainly as it has been for a lot of our lives in the conversation for best teams in the country.
Well, I mean, all they got to do, I guess, is win out and maybe see a rematch here. I would sign up for a rematch of this in a semifinal game if that's the way the committee can line it up. And I would take Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama, the Ohio State, if that's the way it all works out at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right now, Mike?
Except for the folks who are listening and watching in Cincinnati and out in Provo, sure. I think most would be in agreement on that. The Bearcats and the Cougars have had very good seasons, and do they deserve to be a part of the conversation? Here's the curious thing, and this is why I really get frustrated with a sport I love. I know, the friends at our old employer, ESPN, they make such hay in the conversation of sports, and the chaos that comes with college football really gives you a lot of juice for all the shows between games week to week, right? But it's just so stupid that what happens on the field is still then has to be sifted through a selection committee and all this other stuff. The playoff should be eight teams. There are five leagues that play in this level. Those five leagues, the Power Five, their champions, however they choose to crown them, should be in the playoff. one team from the group of six should be in the playoff, and then the other two best teams, and let's play it on the field this year and every year. It's really pretty simple to figure out and a way to do things. And, Rich, with the finances at colleges and universities and athletic departments losing eight figures in their athletic budgets this year, I think it might hasten the conversation for expanding a playoff to eight teams and get more playoff-generated money as a part of this, especially with the other sports that people are trying to hang on to. Clemson just cut its track and field program. No program's making more money over this stretch than Clemson is, right? And they just had to cut a program that's turned out some good athletes. So it's a time, I think, that college football should really look at it. Because let me just give you this point. If Notre Dame plays Clemson in an ACC championship game, Trevor Lawrence plays, everybody else plays, it's in Charlotte, Clemson wins, there might be a good argument to keep Notre Dame out of a playoff if Cincinnati or BYU is unbeaten. And that would be part of the mix. Even though they've split, it would just be the timing of it. It's just, it's kind of odd to watch the system work that way. But it's a big possibility.
Well, and plus, you know, what if Notre Dame would do that and win again? Does that mean Clemson, you know, then get right. Look, we could go back and forth on this, but exactly. I'm totally in lockstep with you. I've been pounding this table that I'm sitting behind right now for years about an 18 playoff, and I think now's the time to do it. We just saw, like, literally this year, and I know that this is already, that horse is back in the barn right now, but I'll still say it here anyway, since we're opining. That this is the year you saw Major League Baseball expanded their playoffs because of what happened with an obviously different season due to COVID. The NFL right now has already got a plan in the front right drawer, desk drawer of probably the commissioner and everyone else's in case that they have to just have an expanded season because the postseason, because the regular season is changed by this virus. Why not right now? I mean, like, this would be it right now for everybody to enjoy.
Rich, You're right, buddy. Every sport has the balls up in the air because of the complete tumult that there has been with the regularity of the sports calendar. So it's a great opportunity to step back, reassess, come back in a different way. Randy Moss, not Randy Moss of the Vikings fame and future Hall of Famer, I should say, but Randy Moss, who works on our horse racing coverage and works on NFL Network at times as well.
Yes.
He has said for years about horse racing, the Triple Crown should space itself out so the Derby goes in May and then the Preakness around Memorial Day and the Belmont around 4th of July weekend. It would make more sense. Well, it's a time to do that because all the balls are up in the air. Do what's best for the long-term interest from 2020 to 2040 in your sports. If the NBA goes to 72 regular season games, however folks have to redivvy this up, what an opportunity to do it. Maybe hockey saw something that we can take those seeds 5 through 12 in each conference and play these mini best of five playoff series to get the final 16 teams, 8 per conference, like they did in the restart in the bubbles. Maybe there was something out of this year that will create new, different, and higher valued inventory, because there's a ton of sports inventory out there. So if yours isn't high quality and of interest, it's time to move on or you'll get passed. And I think that given all the tumult, it'll be a great time to do it, and college football needs to be at the front of that train. Decide it on the field. Make each conference matter. Don't give me a debate about the Pac-12's relevance to the SEC. Play in your league, win your conference, play in the postseason, then you crown a true national champ.
Mike Tirico here on the Rich Eisen Show. I was going to bring this up last, but I'll bring it up now since we're talking about reconfigured sports schedules due to the virus. It's Masters Week. Here we are in November, and I'm seeing the photographs that the Masters is posting on social media of the leaves changing at Augusta National. Yeah. Like, it's something we've never seen before. What do you think we're going to see this week, Mike? What do you think?
Yeah, well,
what's it gonna look like?
I'm bummed because I'm not going to personally be there for the first time in quite some time. For the coverage, but I was down there a couple of weeks ago, and I can tell you that it's not full fall foliage, but it's just beautiful in its own way. You're going to miss the hues of the azaleas and everything else, but it's just not it's not the same in that way, but the place still looks spectacular. It will play slightly differently because of the type of grass and the time of season, but it will still play fast. It's still perfect. The green speeds are going to be there like they are in April. And I'm just going to put this on your radar on Monday. This week, you will be talking about Bryson DeChambeau at Augusta all across sports. He's going to hit the ball to places that we've never seen anybody hit it off the tee at Augusta National.
Right.
He's going to have a myriad of shots in for second shots at this golf course that will be different than almost anyone we've seen, even when they had to, quote, tiger-proof Augusta National. DeChambeau is going to have, you know, nothing. He's not going to hit any 4 or 5 irons into greens. He, in all likelihood, is going to be kind of 7, 8 iron in, and I'm talking about par fives, not just the par fours. I hope he drives it well because it will be one of those things where you can't wait to see where he's going to hit it next. And it could be very fascinating. Doesn't mean he's going to win. He's still got a putt, and I know he did in the last major, and he's confident about his putting there, I'm sure. But I'm just telling you, Rich, it is going to be the talk of golf, and thus, because it's the Masters, the talk of the sports world this week, where DeChambeau hits it and what he's going to be able to do from those spots.
So then let's come up with the phrase right now. Let's front load it, because you can't say Bryson proof it. Well, like Brysonize it? Are they going to Brysonize?
Right, right.
Are they going to Brysonize Augusta? Something like that? I mean,
DeChambeau's?
DeChambeau's?
do you like that?
I don't know. DeChambeau's it, because you know, they have run out of real estate, right? Have they run out of real estate there to move things back?
There are places that they can extend some holes. 13 comes to mind. It's been a conversation for the last couple of years. But, Rich, it's less Bryson doing it, or Augusta National, I should say. This is a case for all golf courses as we go forward. Bryson is hitting it farther than we've ever seen anybody hit it, but he's also hitting it straight. And that's the remarkable thing when you go back to Wingfoot. Yes, he did hit it deep, but he also hit it in play. So, you know, you can say grow rough, which at Augusta National, there's a second cup, but it's not the same effect as the rough at U.S. Opens or other tree-lined courses. And yet he still has the opportunity, because he's way down there, to get it on the green. Here, with a lack of high rough, you're going to have even more opportunities. So there's not much you can do. It's just going to be interesting to watch two other players try to catch up to the speed, carrying the ball 360 in the air that he has. The speed, the power, all that stuff. I think, Rich, he is as fascinating an athlete as we have in professional sports right now. And when you look at the physics background, how he's approached this, the protein, the food, all the things he's doing, it's really intriguing. I just think that if he has another big week after winning the U.S. Open, even though they're not on the same time in the calendar, it's really going to send that sport into a very interesting stretch of people trying to catch his distance.
So then last one for you on this. Is there a par four that you think he could table from the tee? Do you think is there one?
No. Three. The third hole after the par five second, you come back parallel to that, and the third plays under 400 yards. He could get it there. It's a narrow green. It's a difficult miss if you miss to the right. If you're to the left, you might have an angle. The other thing is there are no patrons, no fans there.
Right.
So some of those areas are a little more accessible than they might have been otherwise when patrons are lining those spots that we've always seen them. That's why I'm really intrigued to watch, hear the reports back from the practice rounds, and then watch him this week. I think it's going to be really cool to see, and I think it's going to be the chit-chat of the sports world after he plays on Thursday and Friday.
A few more minutes left with Mike Tirico. Again, fresh back from South Bend, calling the Notre Dame overtime win over Clemson on NBC, and then hosting Football Night in America, as always, on Sunday nights on NBC. What do you take out of last night, Mike? What do you take from that?
Well, I was heartened that all the gang on Sam Ponder's show on Sunday NFL Countdown, and then you and my man Kurt,
yes,
and Mooch and Michael, you all picked
there was
Tampa too.
Not a fleur-de-lis in sight, Mike. Not a fleur-de-lis in the house. That's correct.
So we had good lead blockers. And then on Football Night in America, when all of us picked the Buccaneers as well,
yes,
it just allowed for the triple troll to take place from Saints fans.
Yes.
So good on you, New Orleans. Should have known at that point that I should have gone the other way when everybody else was going. I was stunned, not stunned the New Orleans won, but stunned with seeing that Tampa team that we thought, okay, here they go now. I mean, you know, they've got like this little fantasy football team of guys here with Edwards and Evans and Godwin, and obviously AB's added, and Gronk and Fournette, and they got one of a kind. They got everything here. And the defense just was completely out of place and off pace. What a brilliant game plan by Sean Payton. And let's credit Drew Brees, because, yeah, Drew Brees doesn't throw 40 yards, 45 yards in the air much, if at all, this year. But, man, the timing, the accuracy, it really is like watching a beautiful Broadway play, a musical too, with the rhythm, the timing, the pace, the lines, the spots they hit. And we should have thought about what they did against a good Chicago team in the last 2 weeks without their top two receivers. And now you get a 149 catch guy and a Super Bowl caliber receiver in Emmanuel Sanders on the other side of Michael Thomas, throw them back in and everybody else hit a good rhythm. And they looked fabulous. Full credit to them. Good for them. And, you know, it's nice. That NFC race is now wide open, and they've got a huge advantage with a game, with really two-game lead because of the head-to-head sweep in the NFC South. And that's the difference between a one seed and a five seed. And that's a lot, as we saw last year with Seattle and San Francisco.
All right, let's go sports talk format and ask the poll question of Mike Tirico, fellow Syracuse Orange. Chris Brockman, ask it of Mike Tirico, please.
All right, Mike, who's the best team in the NFL, Steelers, Chiefs, Bills, or Saints?
Those are the top four by record. That's why we went
yeah,
down.
Yeah. I would take – I'd bet a slice at the Varsity, which is our pizza joint at the Q's.
Well done.
Chris well knows. I would take a Varsity slice on the Chiefs at this point. You know, Pittsburgh, I think, is very, very good. I just have a lot of belief in that Kansas City offense. No matter what your answer is defensively, I feel like they've got one last move on offense. It feels like the Chiefs are always batting in the bottom of the inning, that no matter what you do in the top of the inning, they've got like one more to play, and they can get you last.
Great analogy.
And I think on the offensive side, they did that. And defensively, I get the feeling McDermott's crew is going to start coming together. I know they gave up 30-plus last week, but I trust them when they get in a playoff spot. So I think just because the offense is a touch more explosive than Pittsburgh, I'll go there right now.
Well, and I was talking to our colleague Peter King in the first hour, Mike, about the one aspect or metric that is the perfect that perfectly encapsulates just how Mahomes is looked at such a ripe age of 25. It's not, you know, although you can talk about the $500 million contract or the MVP in the Super Bowl or anything else, it is that we are already in the media treating him like Belichick for Coach of the Year or Phil Jackson for Coach of the Year. Like, why give it to him? You know, he's already got everything. Let's spread it around. Let's spread it around. Like, we're not looking at him as the clear MVP that he is playing as, and he's 25.
That's right.
Mike.
Right. What year was Michael Jordan not the most valuable player in the NBA?
I know.
LeBron right now, right? That
great.
That kind of conversation.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Rich, I was when the conversation of the moment was 4 weeks ago. Hey, Russell Wilson never got an MVP, but he's having an MVP season. I'm like, it's September. Can we wait? And so I'm trying not to inject myself in MVP conversation till we get to right around Thanksgiving time, because, you know, a guy can play 10 games, 11 games. He gets hurt, it changes the calculus. Trevor Lawrence misses two games. It's going to change the conversation about the Heisman race a little. As long as he comes back and plays well, it's still going to be there, but it does impact it. So you can't get too far ahead on these things. But last night when we stopped into 25 touchdowns, one interception, think about that for a minute. 25 and one. That's extraordinary stuff.
Yes.
He always gets it to the end zone, and he never gives it to you. That's as valuable at the most important position in all of sports.
For an 8-1 team, too. Unbelievable.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. Mike, great weekend. Loved hearing you, watching you, seeing you. You know, as always, thanks for the call. You take care. You be well.
Anytime, pal. Best to Susan the kids.
You bet. Same to you. That's Mike Tirico here on the Rich Eisen Show.
25-1.
I mean, just again, here, I didn't want to say this to him on the phone because, you know, what's he going to say? But he's been everywhere at the forefront for like two decades now. Game day morning yesterday, you know, we hyped up Cowboys Steelers because we didn't see Garrett Gilbert really coming. And so we felt it needed a little bit of hype. At least this is what I think our producers thought. So they made a hype video of Steelers Cowboys of The history.
I loved it.
Okay. You saw it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you saw the Cowboys winning championships in the 70s and obviously the 90s, and you saw the Steelers winning championships in the 70s and then, you know, the aughts. Mm-hmm. Jerome Bettis at the podium winning. You know who was there standing next to him in 2005? Tirico.
Asked him the question.
It was him saying, hey, is this the last stop for the bus? Yep, this is the last stop for the bus. That's 15 years ago. And he called, you know, obviously the reopening of the Superdome, Kobe's final game. I mean, we can go on and on. But I rave about my friends.
He called Kobe's last game?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, did not realize
he
that.
Did call Kobe's last game. He was at the mic when Kobe dropped 60 saying farewell, Mamba out. He called that one. Yeah. And I need the phonetic of the name of the Clemson quarterback, and it just rolls off his tongue like it's Italian. Let me take a break. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. When we come back, some metrics to point out just how rare that Saints win over the Bucs and Brady was last night. Don't miss this. Coming up.
Hi, this is Chris Myers. For more than three decades, I've covered some of the biggest events in sports and talked with some of the most fascinating personalities. But now I want to invite you to join me for my new podcast, CMI, The Chris Myers Interview on Podcast One. Covered a lot of events, World Series, Red Sox, White Sox breaking through at their time, the Super Bowl as recently as Mahomes and the Chiefs coming back against the 49ers. I was there to grab Brady after he had that tremendous comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and some tough times, the 89 earthquake world. World Series that rocked the Bay Bridge, and first to talk to O.J. Simpson live after both of his trials, and on the air through the 1996 Atlanta Olympic bombings, informing people as best we could at the time. We'll go in-depth on stories past, present, and future to the effect of the world of sports and everybody in and around it, from current athletes, Hall of Famers, and some people you and I know. Hope you tune in to CMI, The Chris Myers Interview, on Apple Podcast, Podcast One, and Spotify.
After Dan Patrick, we take you to Brother from Another, PFT in the morning and PFT at night. Just it depends on your flavor. You know what I mean? I'm more of a night guy, but that's because I did 2 a.m. sports centers forever.
That's true.
I am not a morning person at all. So
even with children?
Even with children, my beautiful children, my lovely children, I don't know. Are you in a little bit of a mood today or no? A little bit?
Yeah.
A little bit?
No, I'm okay.
You sure?
He's excited for tonight.
You tired? You wiped out? It's okay if you can admit it. Is your kid getting you up?
Just got some stuff going on.
Okay. All right. But is he sleeping through the night? No? The clocks?
Till about 3, maybe.
Okay.
He goes from like 7 to 3, and then he's like, hey, what's up, everybody?
You'll get there. You'll get there.
Yeah. I'm awake.
Did I hear you guys, Del Tufo was complaining about you texting him too late at night?
Oh, God.
Yes. You're back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio audience.
No, that was me, Rich.
Did you complain about texts too late at night?
I complained about texts too late. TJ complained about texts too early. I'm an old man.
Yeah,
I go to sleep early.
Yeah, TJ said no text before 7 a.m. on Saturday.
7 a.m.?
A.M., yeah.
Yeah, well, that...
Mike started texting. I text you an important. I broke news.
Mike texts us at like 6:50 in the morning on
what,
Saturday.
The election?
Yeah, I broke news to everybody.
Yeah, but you don't need to be Paul Revere. I mean, like,
I broke news.
Seriously, you don't need to be.
No, it wasn't that one. He started off replying to something about our basketball conversation. But
that's right.
Let me just say this. As an individual who is sleep deprived and over caffeinated and probably overstimulated, but last week, with everything going on in the world, I got my screen time back. It is ugly. Last week was bad for me.
Oh, I didn't even look at my
phone. Oh, my gosh. It was like, you know, I might as well just take this phone and insert it in my head, you know?
I block screen time.
So I'm over.
Well, mine was up 20%.
I was up 15%. You got me.
I wish they would have sent me my screen
time. You got me. So I'm probably overstimulated and all of this, and I got kids who are waking me up, and I got a lot on my head and brain, just like everybody else, right?
Yeah.
That's depressing.
But I will say this. Texts after 10 o'clock at night, far more acceptable than texts before 7 in the morning. I mean, Mike, text before 7 in the morning is really outrageous.
Saturday morning. Not Saturday Monday through Friday morning.
We're already up getting ready. I'm a morning guy.
I'm awake anyway, Mike, so I'm getting them.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, but still, it's just...
Yeah, but still, it's like, what are you doing?
I won't respond to one because I don't want to give you the thought that I'm available to receive it and respond.
And I thought that,
like, I will, even if I have received it, I will not respond because I don't want to give you the opening of, oh, Rich responded to that before 6 a.m. the other day. Let me send 5 more of them, including a cat meme of him licking his licking himself with a wig on.
I appreciate
like a cat
your
with
thought.
A mohawk, all this stuff that you send us and all this
me
craziness.
That was my thought, but then Brockman answered his text, and then it went back and forth. I'm like, it's 6:55 right now.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Mike. I was awake.
New Rich Eisen show poll. Which is less acceptable? Texts after 10 p.m., texts before 7 a.m.
Right.
Flat out put it before the people.
Yeah, I was upset.
Flat out. You are going to lose landslide,
lose,
and we're
going to
count every vote.
Text before 7
a.m. Del Tufo's going to be in front of El Segundo Total Landscaping talking about it. But that's going to be
amazing. Now, are we stipulating weekend or like so after 10 p.m.?
Weekend.
After 10 p.m. weekday?
No, because
weekday.
Wednesday we're up. We're already
weekday.
Up. We're already
I think
up on Wednesday.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
No, weekday, because weekend's different.
I think you just leave it, period. Well, it doesn't matter if it's
before,
weekend or weekday.
I say before 7 a.m. weekend. And after 10 p.m. weekday.
Rich, what time do you go to bed on Saturday into Sunday morning?
Well, I mean, this time of year?
Yeah.
Anywhere between 8 and 9 o'clock?
So you're like me. Exactly.
I got to get up at 4 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
So I'm out like Rich on Saturday like that. I get that. On the weekend, you can't count weekends are extra.
Yeah, but weekdays, it's like a work
all
week.
Right.
So we might
I'm breaking
news
my
at
rulings.
Uh-oh.
Have you put it out there already?
Not yet.
Okay. Put it out there without a day of the week.
Okay.
Just period. Period. What's less acceptable?
Yeah, which is less acceptable?
Right. You're going to lose, Mike.
It's out.
Keep it up. You're going to lose.
I mean, I text these two at 6:30 this morning. So, you know.
You did.
But it was a Monday.
Let's go to Chad in Cincinnati. How you been, Chad?
Hey, Rich. First of all, I just want to say Green Bay on the first poll question. And I think that the text before 7 a.m. is unacceptable, more unacceptable. And then I have a question for you, Rich, and this is a serious question. I'm not trolling. But, you know, after that loss yesterday, it bothers me. I hate it. I hate that loss to the Dolphins, even though we played okay.
Yes.
But knowing what you're going through with the Jets and Michigan, how is it? I mean, what do you drink for coffee in the morning? What vitamins do you take? Because you still seem like you're chipper. You're okay, where I'm over here struggling. So what's your regimen? How do you do it?
You know what? Chad, you know, it's just years of being a beaten shell of a man. I'm no longer alive inside, Chad. You know, and I know you're not trolling. I appreciate
it. No, I'm not, because, this is painful.
No, and I know if you were trolling, you would have started with all due respect. So I look, here's the deal, man. Kyler Murray is amazing. And do we have that soundbite? You got it. You got him, Don, can you tee it up? His post game, reaction. He's a real red ass. You know what I mean? Like, he's angry. He's pissed. And I don't know if he's pissed at some of the coaches' decisions that they didn't let him run it on those short yardage plays. And they didn't go for a field goal once. And then they went for a field goal another time. And, you know, he had a beautiful throw to Christian Kirk to get him in field goal range. And then I understand you got to pump the brakes a little bit because you don't want to give it back to Tua. But they went in a shell, and then Gonzalez missed it. So there's a lot of second guessing. I don't know if he's who he's pissed at. But hang on, Chad. Here it was after the game.
I wasn't really worried about first place in the division. I don't think anybody should be worried about that. I don't think anybody should be worried about that. We came out here and laid an egg. I don't know, but it's, we gotta be better.
Laid an egg. That's a very harsh self-assessment.
That's strong.
You know what I mean? So
That's strong.
You got a guy who's so damn good, and he's young, and he's only going to get better. I know that that fumble led to 6 points, which really was the difference in the game in the first quarter, but he was just unstoppable. And just throw it at DeAndre every time. You know what I mean? Just don't. Just it's a given.
Exactly.
Every time.
What are we doing?
I don't know, but you're fine. I'm not. You know what I mean, Chad? If that makes you even feel better, okay.
Thanks, Rich.
Thanks for the call. You got it.
The therapy.
Thank you, buddy. Here you go. Just free of charge. It's free of charge when you call here.
Many of the people.
Just
Rich.
Do not text me your problems at before seven in the morning. That's gonna be a blowout.
No, I'll get killed. I'm gonna get killed.
How rare was that beatdown for Tom Brady last night? How rare? Very rare. Chris, you had that stat. When was the last time that he had a game in which he did not lead his team to a single offensive touchdown?
Yeah,
when was the last time?
So the last time a Tom Brady-led team did not score an offensive touchdown in which he played the full game, October 6th, 2013 against Cincinnati. They lost 13-6.
Never. He's never trailed a game by 35 points. Never. Never. In his career, ever trailed a game that much. The only time it came close was the moving on to Cincinnati game. Yep. That's rare. Whew. Here's another rare. Tom Brady had never been swept by a divisional opponent, ever. Now, it stinks to be a team in the AFC East when Brady was the Patriots quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you're trying to win tournaments when Tiger was at his best. I mean, never, ever been swept by a division opponent. That's a new sensation for him. And the last time he lost to the same opponent in the same season was 2015, when the Broncos got him in week 12 and then in the AFC Championship game later on. But that wasn't by the same quarterback. That was Osweiler in week 12 and then Peyton Manning in the AFC Championship game. The last quarterback to do it to Tom is tonight's Jets starting quarterback, Joe Flacco.
Hey.
In 2012, it was the last time Brady had lost to the same quarterback in the same season. Jeez. When Flacco and the Ravens beat him week 3 and in the AFC title game. And then before that, it was Eli in 2011 who beat him in week 9 and then in Super Bowl 46. And then before that, it was the Jets in 2010. You just saw it up on the screen with that ESPN tweet. When Mark Sanchez beat him in week 2 and then beat him in the division round. And before that, it was Peyton Manning in 2009 when Indianapolis did it in week 9 and then in the AFC Championship game. It had happened only 6 times before this year to Tom Brady. You want to guess who the 6th one is? You'll never guess. You will never guess who did it to Tom. The first to ever do it to Tom. In 2005, Jake Plummer with the Denver Broncos beat him in week 6 in the regular season and then in the divisional round to end Brady and the Patriots' hope for a three-peat. They were the 2-time defending Super Bowl champions trying to win 3 in a row.
That was the game with the crazy Ben Watson chase down of Champ Bailey that probably would be a touchback if they had replay.
That's it. The only quarterbacks to do it. Jake Plummer, Peyton Manning, Mark Sanchez, Eli Manning, Joe Flacco, and now Drew Brees. Here's what's good about this for the Saints. Only the 2010 Jets and the 2005 Broncos did not do this and fail to make the Super Bowl. Everybody else made the Super Bowl.
Oh.
And the 2015 Broncos, the 2012 Ravens, the 2011 Giants all won it. Indianapolis in 2009 made the Super Bowl but lost it to Drew Brees and the Saints.
Saints 7-1 to win the Super Bowl.
It's a good omen for New Orleans that they did this, is what I'm saying. And also what I'm saying is leave it up to the Jets to do it and not make the Super Bowl. That's how rare that was last night. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Overreaction Monday. More of your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Chris Brockman's news update and more on the remarkable Tua. That's coming up here on the Rich Eisen Show in Hour 3. Still here on Peacock.
That was the year the Jets had a two-touchdown lead on Peyton Manning in the AFC Championship game, right? 2010?
That was the ground and pound year. Yep. That was the ground and pound
year. Sean Green and those guys?
Right. 2010 Jets, man. Or was that the, no, that was the year, was that the year that they, no, that was the year that they lost in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh
has
then made the Super Bowl and lost it to, Aaron Rodgers.
The Peyton Manning year was 2009.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
They lost 24-19 to Pittsburgh.
I don't even want to, I mean, it's just, it's, Jets had it 2 years in a row. They made the AFC Championship game with Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez. That defense was amazing.
Amazing.
They were great. Bart Scott, close. That was a can't wait. That was the
can't wait.
That was a can't wait. Yeah.
Your quarterback room in 2010, Sanchez, Mark Brunell, Brad Smith, and Kellen Clemens.
Don't you remember Mark Brunell in the Hard Knocks was telling Sanchez, you got to get a binder? Like, look at all your papers all over the place. Remember that?
Right.
Get a binder. Put it in a, you know, well, teaching
Danny,
Sanchez
Danny
how to.
Tomlinson and Sean Green were running backs.
Wow. Oh, Don Bowie is getting his, he's loving all these Brady photographs, huh? His beloved Saints took care of it. Hour 3 coming up.